All right, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of his glory in his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about AI tonight. And the reason why is because this is part of our culture. And I shared last week about America's Red Sea moment is approaching, and I updated that message that I'd given in August of 2023, and then I just kind of landed on AI, and I wanted to be able to come back to AI and expound on it and talk about some things that are taking place within AI and within just the whole industry of it. Now, I do have a book coming, and so I'm hoping to be able to go over that book and revisit this subject in the coming weeks. So this is going to be not a comprehensive message. It's going to be a message to lay some groundwork and to help us to see from God's perspective this issue. And I say that because we can look at the events that we're seeing today and get very fearful. And the reason why I read Ephesians 1 to start this off with is because, you know, God has given us the ability to see through this. He has given and imparted within his people the wisdom and the knowledge and the discernment and the understanding that we need to navigate this world. And I think sometimes we don't recognize that about ourselves. We don't recognize that God has imparted that to us. And because we don't recognize that, we rely on information to be fed to us, and then we draw our own ideals, and they may not be right. You know, and they may be absolutely right, but they may not be right. They may be laced with all of the information that's out there. And that may feed into our thought process. And I think that living in the hour in which we live, you know, the last decade has been challenging. Let's just be honest. I mean, the last two decades have been pretty challenging. I got to be honest with you. But the last decade has been challenging as we have fought for God's promises in the nation. And as a ministry, we have fought for God's promises to be done, his will to be accomplished. While there are other people out there who are saying, no, if we're in the end times, we need judgment to come, we need, you know, we're pull up your tents, it's time to go. And yet, that's not what God is calling us to do right now. God is saying, stay the course. God is saying, view things through my eyes. God knew every one of the people that are on this line right now and everyone that will listen to this message later, everyone who may read a transcript of it, he knew we would be born in this hour. He knew it. He knew exactly what we would be facing in the culture. He knew the kind of stuff that we're seeing overcome, as Daryl read in the good news today. He knew that the difficulties that we would face over the last decade, getting to the point where people are finally recognizing the danger that has been deposited or thrust upon our children through a leftist ideology clearly intended to destroy them, to destroy their parents, to distract everyone. Population control. I mean, I talked about that a little bit last week, and I've talked about this many times before. God knew. And sometimes we look at things from a perspective that maybe, you know, God didn't know what was going on. Do you ever talk to somebody who's a Christian and feel that way? Like they just don't quite think God knew what was going on? Or that he's taken by surprise? God knows exactly what's going on. He knew the intercessors he'd have to raise up to fight for this nation. He knew the intercessors who would stay the course and those that would give up. He knew. And so as I talk about these things, I want to remind you, I'm not going to talk about a lot of stuff that actually should cause us to be fearful. I'm going to talk about it from a practical standpoint and how we can kind of put some safeguards in place and how we can protect our children. And I think I just want to lay the groundwork for that. Because I have heard all kinds of things, and as I've been doing kind of a deeper dive on this, you know, the algorithms know what you're doing, so all this stuff is feeding into my stream. And, you know, it can seem really fearful, or it can seem like, you know, oh, what are you going to do? You know, we don't want to go there. We want to stay balanced and use wisdom. So, last week I concluded the message with, you know, asking ChatGPT if it was the devil, what would it do to pull Christians away from God without them knowing it? And so I'm going to start kind of at that point. And so, you know, I think that, you know, even in preparing for this message, I found a lot of stuff that even the church is propagating about AI. I do feel that that's dangerous because it omits the truth of God's word by trying to merge the events in the Bible into our own advancements in technology. God did know where we would be today with technology. He did know that. And as he unpacked the book of Revelation to John, he knew what was going to happen. He knew where we would be. But I think that trying to fit things in is dangerous. I think trying to force them in is dangerous as well. I think that doing so kind of negates what Daniel and Revelation teach us about the villains of the end times. And what do I mean by that? You know, let's look at what AI is not. AI is not the Antichrist. It's simply not the Antichrist. You know, I know we want to put a villain there, but that's actually going to be a person. You know, we're going to see that come about. It's not the false prophet. Yeah, again, I know we want that to be our villain. We want AI, we want technology to be the villain, but it's not. It's not the dragon, it's not Lucifer. The AI is not these things. And, you know, we know that according to Scripture, the Antichrist spirit is here. It's been here. I mean, the Apostle John wrote about it in 1 John 4:3, that the Antichrist is that which does not confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. That's the Antichrist. And that spirit has been here since John wrote that. Inspired by the Lord, the Antichrist spirit has been here. It's anything that does not confess that Jesus is God, anything that opposes his sonship that's threaded through the spirit of the Antichrist. The Antichrist, the man of sin, the ones that's going to work in conjunction with a false prophet to deceive the world, persecute and kill Christians, and anyone else who does not bow to him, will come on the scene in the end of days. There's going to be a great falling away or an apostasy. Some renderings say this could also be translated as a departure of the church. And the man of sin, the son of perdition, will be revealed. This is 2 Thessalonians 2:1 through 7. He will oppose God. He will sit in the temple showing himself that he is God. This event will take place in Jerusalem within the rebuilt temple. The Antichrist is going to seek to rule the whole world in a one world system, one world government, one world religion, one world financial systems. It'll all be under his rule. So I just wanted to kind of bring that dividing line and get that fallacy out of the way. Those days are yet to come. And so while technology will be used to broadcast his messages of peace in the beginning and, of course, terror towards the end or the middle way point, he will indeed be a real person. And I think the danger to believing that AI is the Antichrist or, you know, the false prophet or any of those main characters in the book of Revelation is that when that man of sin comes on the scene, we won't recognize him. And we don't want that either. We need to acknowledge truth where truth resides. And that's in his word. So what is AI? AI stands for artificial intelligence. Now, there's varying degrees of AI, some of which we use knowingly or unknowingly every single day. AI is embedded in many technologies with the premise that it's in place to make our, quote-unquote, everyday tasks easier and more efficient. I researched some of the most common types of AI systems that most people, you know, interact with on a regular basis to present to you. So I'm going to give you just kind of a list of them, and we'll go from there. So we have virtual assistants. In the examples of this are Siri, Google Assistant, Amazon Alexa, Microsoft Cortana, Samsung's Bixby. Now, they work, they're AI-powered virtual assistants, and they use natural language processing to understand spoken commands and provide helpful resources or perform tasks like setting reminders, answering questions, sending text messages, or controlling smart home devices. Number two, recommendation systems. AI is used in like Netflix or YouTube or Spotify or Amazon and TikTok. And how they work is that AI runs around in there and it recommends their recommendation algorithms and they analyze your past behaviors. Just like at the beginning, I said, you know, I've been doing a deep dive on AI and so my algorithms are showing it. So I'm getting all kinds of stuff in my feed right now. Okay, so it analyzes your behavior, what you watch, what you listen to, what you buy, and it predicts content or products you might like. These systems use techniques like collaborative filtering and machine learning to personalize your experience. Number three, social media algorithms. For example, like Facebook and Instagram, X, TikTok, again, YouTube. And they work by with algorithms that curate the content you see in your feed based on factors like your previous interactions, your likes, your comments, your shares. You know how when you're watching somebody, they'll say, like and subscribe or like and share this out. If you do that, it will bring their video or their content up higher in your feed. It will also bring it up higher in the feed of those people that you send it to. And so any time that you spend on certain posts and engagement with certain types of content, it's all monitored and recommendations are made based on that information. Number four, search engines like Google search, you know, everybody's ask Google or Google it up, Bing, DuckDuckGo, all of these things. AI is used within them to improve search results and rankings. AI symptoms analyze vast amounts of data to understand the content of search queries and provide the most relevant and personalized results. Natural language processing and machine learning are key technologies behind search engines. And I know it's a lot of technical information. I apologize for that. I just want to lay the foundation here and hope that some of it sticks, right? And so part of the reason why, you know, we can look at this and we can look at the basic of it, but we saw during the election that certain information was elevated and other information was suppressed. So somebody in the recesses of all of these search engines, they can elevate certain posts and suppress others. Okay, so the fifth AI technology is navigation and maps. So Google Maps, Apple Maps, Waze, they use AI to analyze real-time traffic data, predict the best routes, and help with your navigation. AI-powered systems also consider factors like road closures, accidents, and historical traffic patterns to optimize travel time. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. You can be using Google Maps to get from point A to point B. This isn't something, have you ever seen the Google car come by your neighborhood taking video for Google Maps, and then you go on later to your address, and you can see your address and, you know, however your house looked at that particular time. They blur out people and stuff. But, you know, that's what you see taking place. Well, it's been so updated, and they use satellite, they use local cameras and stuff like that to compile all of the information and actually tell you where there's an accident today. It's that updated. It didn't used to be that updated, but it is far more updated than it used to be. It's real-time information. Number six, customer support chatbots. I can't stand these things. I don't know about you, but I can't stand these things. You'll see these on websites, Facebook, Messenger, bots. Now, we've all seen the bots, right? The bots that are spewing hate on conservative channels, on conservative pages, and they're just spewing hate. And if you engage with them, they really can't engage with you. Those are just bots. But AI-powered chatbots use natural language processing, again, to understand and respond to customer queries. These systems can handle common questions, provide troubleshooting, or direct users to human support when necessary. Number seven is smart home devices. You have your smart thermostat, your smart lights, your security cameras, your sprinkler systems. All can be run using AI with smart home systems. Listen to how they work. AI systems are used in smart home devices to learn from your behaviors and automate tasks. For instance, a smart thermostat can learn your preferred temperatures and adjust accordingly, while security cameras can use AI to detect unusual activity or recognize faces. So your thermostat can learn your behavior when you make it cooler, when you make it warmer, when you come home, when you're away, and it will adjust automatically for you. That feels really invasive to me. I don't know about you. Okay, email and spam filters. I don't think that these work very well, but they are supposed to block out spam, and they're supposed to and I do feel like these have been compromised quite a bit, but they are used to block out spam. You can use them to kind of create folders and have your email automatically go into those folders. I have literally never had a successful email system do that. If anybody else has, you know, send me an email. Hopefully it won't end up in spam. Okay, voice to text. Oh, banking and fraud detection. Fraud detection systems used by banks. They use AI to analyze spending patterns and detect unusual activity that might indicate fraud. Machine learning models continuously learn and adapt to new fraud patterns, helping banks protect users' financial data. In other words, they monitor everything you buy. And if something seems out of whack, you'll get a text or you'll get a call that they've detected fraud on your account. Have you ever had one of those calls? That's AI. Voice to text systems, Google Voice, Dragon, Naturally Speaking. These are systems that use speech recognition to convert spoken words to text. AI-driven speech-to-text systems are used in various applications, from voice assistants to transcription services, making it easier to dictate messages or documents. Number 11, photo and video recognition. We see this in Google Photo. We see this in Facebook. We see this in Instagram. You can see this on your phone. If you have any labels, you can type up girl if you have on your camera. Or rather, in the photo album of your phone, if you type up girl or you type up dog in that search engine, it will give you every picture of a girl that you have on your phone, every picture of a dog, every picture of a cat. If you have names that have been tagged to those, it will narrow it down that way for you. It'll read your text messages so that if a message came from a person and that picture came through them, it will connect that picture to that name. So then you can just search the person's name, and it will look for that photo that came from that person's cell phone. AI in healthcare, health tracking apps, telemedicine platforms, diagnostic tools. This is really one of the good uses of AI because they can look at photos of x-rays, and they can, I mean, they're all uploaded into a database now, and so they can look at, you know, generic photos of lungs, for example, across the board and compare yours with 10,000 other pictures of lungs, and they can make that comparison and red flag things if needed and then report that back to your doctor. Number 13, this is the last one, autonomous vehicles. So Tesla's Autopilot, Waymo, that's Google's self-driving cars. And these AI systems, they use sensors, cameras, and machine learning algorithms to navigate the roads, avoid obstacles, and make decisions about speed and direction. So the public statement for AI is that the AI systems are becoming increasingly integrated into our daily life. Their goal is to enhance convenience, personalization, and efficiency. Doesn't that just sound like a beautiful, you know, utopia that we can just all settle into? Sounds like a smart city to me. But the next point I want to make here is convenience versus privacy. And I think it's important for us to recognize this because AI is going to continue to progress. And we need to recognize AI that is harmful versus AI that – and we need to see the dangers within AI because I believe that we can pray into this. I think we also need to pray for parameters around AI that are not in place. There are some parameters around AI, but there are other parameters that are missing, and I think we need those put in place. Elon Musk, you know, I watched congressional hearings with him probably a decade ago where he was pleading with Congress to implement regulations on AI because he saw the dangers of what was coming, and they ignored him. And so he right now is still sounding the alarm on AI and its progression. Okay, so convenience versus privacy. So as we went through this list, you know, we can see the increased levels of intrusion into our personal life, can't we? Did you realize how much monitoring was taking place in your life to provide you with those conveniences? Did you realize how infiltrated your photos were? Did you realize how integrated your contacts between maybe a game you play on your device or your Facebook page or your Twitter or X account? Did you realize how integrated things were? And that really is these platforms communicating with one another. AI has crossed the boundaries of these platforms. And, you know, we've given them permission for that. I remember when Amazon came up with those little buttons that you place near the items that you typically purchase from them, like Tide had a Tide label, you know, and Charmin had a Charmin label. Pampers, diapers had like that little Pamper. I think they were tags or something like that. But anyway, so you would put it over, say, your washing machine, and when you ran low on that, you know, where your hands are dirty or they're wet because you're doing your laundry, you got soap on you, you realize this is the last of my laundry detergent, you just push that button, and it sends a message to Amazon to put that in your cart. And if you had your settings just right, it would go ahead and make the purchase for you, and it would be at your doorstep within 2 days. You guys remember those tags? I remember feeling concerned about that then. And, you know, there were people that were so excited about these tabs. I remember seeing people very excited about it. You walk in their house and they've got these little tabs everywhere. You know, they're in your bathroom. It's over your baby's changing table so you can order more diapers and baby wipes. It's in their laundry room. It's in their pantry. And I thought, this is a lot of intrusion by Amazon. But little did I know that Alexa was right around the corner. You wouldn't have to worry about these little smart tabs anymore because Alexa was coming. So all you have to say now is, hey, Alexa, can you order me more diapers? And sure enough, like a personal assistant following you around, she'd add it to your shopping cart. And again, if your settings were just right, she'd place the order for you and it'd be on your doorstep the next day or maybe 2 days. You know, and as I was going through this, this is like the Jetsons. So if we could just figure out how to get our vehicles, push that button and get our vehicles in a suitcase, we would never even have to worry about parking. This is the future. But when you put all of this together, there should be red flags. There should be bells sounding all around us. Because AI, all by itself, this artificial, not real intelligence, it's based on programming and software. What makes AI dangerous at this point in time is the fact that we have willingly, through our preferences, invited it into every aspect of our lives. We have invited it. When we click accept those preferences or accept the terms and conditions, we're saying, yes, I accept your intrusion into my life. Yes, I accept your intrusion when you download an app or when you make a purchase or when you engage with this website or that website and you say, accept the terms and conditions, and you haven't read the 20 pages of terms and conditions, which you don't realize is many of those. Give them permission to access your microphone. It gives them permission to access your camera. That camera takes pictures of you while you view YouTube to see your engagement, to make sure you're getting enough endorphin dumps upon you to keep you coming back to that app. When we accept the terms and conditions, we're saying, yes, cross platforms on my phone and intrude into this area, in this area, in this area. We have talked at our GOEs how you can actually turn your phone off and they can turn it back on. How is that possible? Because we accepted the terms and the conditions. AI in and of itself is not at this point out to get you. But the people that are programming it, the people that are integrating it into the apps that we are accepting the terms and the conditions on, they might have an ulterior motive. And if they can keep your microphone on your phone, so they can listen to you and red flag things, and you know, part of this, we agreed to. Right? We were willing to do it. In fact, when it comes to our emails and our text messages, we were willing, and our phone calls, we were willing, more than willing, after 9/11, to stand around President Bush and applaud him as he signed the Patriot Act. So if you are seen as a threat or a terrorist, a domestic terrorist, like parents in school boards fighting against LGBTQ plus agendas, if you were seen as such, boom, your phone is on for them to listen to. Now, you can turn these features off. You can go into the settings of your phone and turn your microphone off. You can go into the settings of your phone and turn that forward face camera off. You can do this. But you have to do it for every app that you've downloaded. Should you do this? Absolutely. Why? Because you should protect your privacy. If you've got children and grandchildren, you should protect their privacy. As long as possible, we should do this. Should we be fearful? No, because God is with us. He knew exactly where we would be in 2025. He knew where AI would be in 2025. He knew that people would think that it was the Antichrist. He knew that people would think it's the false prophet. He knew that people would think this, and he's just sitting there shaking his head. One day they'll go to the book of Revelation. They're going to read it out and say, you know, maybe I was wrong. But this AI thing, they've just let into their lives. They're letting other people intrude into their world. Some of this stuff we have literally opened ourselves up to. And while we've had it open, that software is collecting data that goes into a data bank and analyzes people. It analyzes our patterns. It analyzes our purchases. It analyzes, and analyzes some more. Because it's data points. You're a data point. You know, we started with barcodes, we went to QR codes, and now we have AI chips. And those AI chips, you know, are in everything. It's every part in your car has an AI chip. Do you know that? Everything you buy has an AI chip. Tiny little chip in there. Even if it's a rubber hose for your exhaust, it's got a chip. Now, right now, AI is mostly intrusive, collecting data. You know, and in your head, and if you've seen any movies like iRobot, you know, you might feel a little bit scared. If you've seen any movies where computers become sentient and take over the world, I mean, I have seen plenty in my day, clear back in the 90s. where we saw computers. I remember a movie, it was War Games. Matthew Broderick played in it back in the 90s. And he, you know, like 15 years old, and he hacked into the Pentagon, of course. And he wanted to play a game. And so it had a chess game. And he's like, hey, can I play something a little bit more exciting? So it's like, how about War Games? Let's just practice bombing our enemies. And so he ends up leaving it and setting some kind of algorithm, right, before we knew what algorithms were, to go through and have this computer run through all the scenarios. So he gets home from school, you know, because he's a high schooler, he's going to school, may hack into the Pentagon, but he's still responsible. And he comes back, and this thing has his computer monitor firing bombs everywhere. Next thing you know, the Department of Homeland Security is banging down his door and hauling him off to where the center of the Pentagon. I mean, some things are so unrealistic, it's funny. However, and this 15-year-old kid has to convince the generals to let the machine play it out. Because in the end, the machine realizes that even if it played it all out, everyone would be destroyed. So there's no point in launching the first rocket. You know, the 15-year-old hero. But that progresses. And we see this in futuristic sci-fi movies, where they have these robots that are going to take over the world. First, they come to be our friends, to be our servants, to help us clean our houses. You know, how many of you would ever guess that we would have a robot vacuuming our homes one day? But did you know that 20% of Americans already do? If you have a Roomba, that's a robot, and it takes pictures of your house. It has to, so that it can be sure to cover everything, get it all clean for you. But we've all seen these things where a robot turns against humanity, and then some other robot has feelings because he downloads the love card or whatever, the love file, the peace file, the grace file, and realizes that's the way to go, and he fights to save humanity. They're computers, and they're fed information that their programmers have given them. That's what AI is today. There's various kinds of AI, and it is progressing. You know, the very people that created ChatGPT, there's now ChatGPT-4, and it is advancing and advancing and advancing some more. The very people that created it are now warning people. Then you have this other group of people that are saying, no, it's okay, we can have a utopian lifestyle where we just sit there and we meditate and we just all live happily ever after, and now we can just be creative. We don't have to work because the robots are going to do it. And I thought, what happened to you? Because 5 years ago, you were warning people. My point in saying that is that on the internet, we are going to see a variety of information. And that information is going to lead us one way or another. And we as Christians must stay the course. We must look at these events through the lens of the Lord. We must see them and recognize them, not be afraid of it, not go out and buy our, you know, off-the-grid property and wait for the Lord to return, but be in it. We are here as the watchmen. We are the watchmen of our city. We are the watchmen of our state. We are the watchmen of our country. We are the watchmen of our schools. We are the watchmen of our children. And our responsibility of the church is to influence those realms. I believe we need Christians in these realms because they're the ones that are going to recognize where we are and the boundaries and restraints that need to be put in place. Because I can promise you there are people out there that will continue to proceed no matter what we say. But if we can have some Christians enter the field, they can slow the progression. But as Christians, we often, you know, it's all about faith and it's all about love and it's all about this. And when we start, we're almost afraid to approach science. We're afraid to approach mathematics. And I'm running short on time, so I'm gonna finish this message next week. But I wanna show you. Because I have like these points I'm gonna give you that will help the church and steps that we should take as the church. You know, everybody likes bullet points, right? But I wanna tell you what the Bible says about science, and then I'm gonna close out and I'm gonna pick the rest up later. I believe that the Bible actually speaks to math, it speaks to technology, it speaks to scientific fields. And we often are afraid to enter those realms because we think that God's not in them, right? We feel like if we study biology, somehow it's going to strip us of our faith in God that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But wisdom, like the Ephesians chapter 1 scripture that I gave at the beginning of this, enables us, and we have to trust God with this. We have to trust God. It enables us to filter through any information and discover truth from fiction. God has given us wisdom to view what we study through his lens so we can filter out anything that does not line up with the Word of God. He's given us discernment, which I'm sorry to say that many Christians struggle to tap into. So we can then filter out the misinformation and disinformation that's out there and retain the truth. We struggle with that. One thing my mom always told me, and she has been telling me this since the 90s, okay, the early 90s, honey, when you pray, pray for wisdom, knowledge, discernment, and understanding every day. These four things, okay? And she told me this time and time and time again, and it is such a precious nugget of wisdom. Pray that God will expand these things within you, because it's in his word. Pray Ephesians 1 over yourself. Pray it over your family, because when you go on the internet, you don't know what you're getting. I told you before that a man that worked at the Pentagon, he's a Christian, he said 90 to 95% of what's on the internet is misinformation and disinformation meant to distract people. Keep you busy. Keep you at each other's throats. I saw a video. Someone sent it to me about Kenneth Copeland. And it went through. It's a 30-minute video that he was sentenced to life for fraud. 30 minutes. But do you know that AI was used to generate that video? It takes three programs to generate a video like that. Voice recognition, face recognition, and then the software to bring it all in and compile it. Three AI programs. You know, Kenneth Copeland's no saint. But he has not been convicted and is not going to jail for the rest of his life because we dug deeper and can't find anything on that. Has he been in trouble? Yeah. But that was an AI-generated video. That's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. We need the wisdom. We need to not fear what's coming, but we need the wisdom of God to ensure. When you're watching something, if you have a check in your spirit, that is your cue to research it or to just tap out and reject what you've heard. The Bible is full of scientific revelations, and scientists, through technology, have discovered in just the last several decades the truths in the Word of God. Job had revelation. Moses had revelation. David had revelation. Solomon had revelation. Isaiah, Jeremiah, they were all given to know the wonders of God's hand in our lives as he knit us in our mother's womb. And in the last few decades, technology has finally caught up. Finally. And now we can see life in the womb. Written in the Word of God. Thousands of years later, here we have it. Jacob understood the intricacies of biology and how genetics play a role in the color of sheep and goats. In Genesis 30 and 32, he used selective breeding based on certain dominant and recessive genes to produce sheep with spots, stripes, or neither, depending upon the need. Jacob had reared these animals for several generations. He knew them and arranged a breeding corral where he provided herbs in the watering trough to keep certain females in place during breeding season in order to produce the animals Uncle Laban would part with. That's biology. Jacob understood it. God is a God of order. He's a God of science. He's a God of biology. Science is the study of. We can't be afraid of these things, but we must look at them through his lens. And if we will do that, we're not going to be deceived. If we will do that, and we will actually pray that God is going to raise up godly scientists, godly biologists, godly technicians, godly people that are going to enter this industry, I believe God will answer us. Now, I have a message based on things that are happening in the church, what's entering the church today, that I will share next week, things that we need to be concerned about, we need to pray over as the church. But, you know, I want to encourage you not to let fear tap in. And why do I keep saying that? Because it's inevitable. You know, even stuff that's going out, the thing about Copeland, that's called a deep fake. And do you know how many they've done to compile negative things about Elon, negative things about Trump, negative things about J.D. Vance, negative things about RFK? We need discernment, and we need to trust what God is doing. Because if we don't, we're going to throw up our hands, and we don't want to do that either. Our greatest concern in the risk of being deceived is being deceived by videos like this that take us off our course of prayer. Being deceived by untruths, by deep fakes, instead of staying anchored in God's word. If we would have when we began praying over Ukraine and Russia, if that entire first year, if we would have spent that just bringing forth what the media was saying, we would not have been praying according to truth. Because every media outlet was persecuting Russia and victimizing Ukraine. And now everybody knows it's a proxy war that America funded, that we started. So think about that when you see something that might sway you from the prayer focus that we as intercessors here in Role for Jesus have been instructed by the Lord to pray over. Trust what God is giving. And let's pray it through. Heavenly Father, and I will finish this message and especially in terms of the church next week. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your wisdom. I thank you, Lord God, for your revelation. I thank you for your understanding. I thank you for your discernment. I pray, Lord God, that you would help us to move forward in faith. That, Lord God, it will help clear our heads, clear our hearts. And we will actually recognize the difference. The difference between truth and fiction. That, Lord God, even things that we've given ourselves over to with tracking and such, help us not to be fearful, but Lord God, just toggle those things off. And deal with the inconvenience of not being tracked. I pray, Father God, that in these coming days where there is just an enormous amount of information coming out, again, I pray that you would keep us from being fearful and you would help us, Lord God, to rise above it and to see these events through your eyes. I thank you, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.